Give that hand clap of praise unto the Lord tonight. Yeah, feels good in the house of the Lord. Stand with me if you would as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. It's so good to see our visitors here. Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise for our visitors? Amen. So good to see you. Good to see you, Brother Eddie and Sister Angie with us again. Praise the Lord. Sister Diane, good to see you, sis. It's good to see you. This is your nephew, right? Good to see you tonight, sir. Good to see you. Amen. We're so glad you're here. Amen. We're also thankful to have all of our members with us tonight that are able to make it. Pray for those that are out sick. There's so much sickness going around. Amen. But we're rebuking that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're rebuking that in Jesus' name. We've had a lot of people out sick. There's so many things floating around right now. But we're going to trust God tonight. We're going to turn to His Word. If you got your Bibles, if you turn with me to the book of St. John, the 5th chapter, I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 6. St. John 5, we'll be reading verse 1 through 6. How many enjoyed that word that Brother Joe McKee brought Sunday early afternoon in this place? Such a heartfelt message, and people were giving him his props. Even as I was walking in the service tonight, people still talking about that service and that message that Brother Joe preached on Sunday. I told him, I said, sir, you let the Lord use you mightily. He used your personality, He used your heart, and I was honored, amen, by that message that He brought forth on Sunday. Tonight I want to continue with something that I said at the close of that sermon. It's been on my heart, and I want to preach it tonight for a few moments as we do a little continuation of that. I feel led of the Holy Ghost to do this. If you'll join me, meet me in the book of St. John, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Shout yes if you're there. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, the words are provided. The text is upon these two screens to my right and my left. If you need a Bible, please see me. I will make sure you have a Bible before you exit this building tonight. We want every home to have a Bible. Every home needs the Word of God. St. John 5, 1. Amen. Join me as we read this text. The word of the Lord says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. The pool is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda had 5 porches, and in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind. They were halt. They were withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel would come down at a certain season into the pool, and there the angel would trouble the water, and whosoever would then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And a certain man was there, the Bible says, which had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years, this man struggled with a condition in his body. And the Bible says that Jesus saw him lying there. And Jesus knew that he had been there now for a long time in that case, in that condition, if you will, in that situation, in that misery. And the Lord Jesus says unto this man these very profound words. He asks him a statement. He asks him a question. He says, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? I want to preach to this body for a few moments. If you got just a little bit of praise and worship in you, all I need is an ounce. Sister Twyla, you ain't got to jump up and down till that hat falls off your head tonight, sis. Just give me an amen here and there, and I'll preach for you tonight. I want to preach to you tonight for a few moments on what I have titled, Five Porches and One Pool. Five Porches and One Pool. If you're thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight, you can indicate that right now by offering Him the biggest hand clap of praise you have ever given Him. Would you help me magnify the Lord in this house tonight? He woke you up. He started you on your way. He put breath in your body. He put food on your table. He gives you a job to go to. He gives you a car to drive. I think it's high time we give Him praise and we give Him glory and we magnify His name all over this house tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb which was slain for your sins and for mine. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight in the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm so privileged to be here with you tonight. I'm so privileged to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You know, there are many people around the world who don't have this privilege, who don't have this luxury. There are people in the world today that don't even have the privilege to hold a Bible in their hand. But we're a blessed people. We're a free people. And we should be a thankful people tonight to be able to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful. I'm privileged to be here with you tonight. I'm thankful. I'm honored. I'm humbled to pastor the greatest church that man has ever known. You might say you're a little biased, Pastor. I am, because you all are the greatest people that I have ever known. And tonight I give you honor, and I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I want you to help me to preach for a few moments tonight, something I have titled Five Porches and One Pool. I read this week that 90% of John's gospel is not duplicated in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's gospel was a very unique gospel. In John's gospel, we see the teaching of the mighty God in Christ. How many know we serve the mighty God in Christ? Ain't you glad we're not worshiping an unknown God tonight? Ain't you glad we know what His name is tonight? Ain't you glad we know His name holds all power in heaven and in earth? Ain't you glad that we know that heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool? And there's no problem too big. There's no river too wide. There's no mountain too high that the people of God cannot receive by the sole of their foot treading upon it. Hey, we got a promise tonight that wheresoever we go, wheresoever the sole of our foot shall trod, Brother Basil, He said He's going to give it to us. Praise God. He's going to give it to us. Amen. In John's gospel, we see the teaching, the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. In John's gospel, we see the teachings. We see the ministry. We see the actions. We see the reactions of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, Brother Joe, the situations that He was put in. We see how He responded to those situations. We see the beginning of His ministry. We see all of these things. We see all of these things revealed in John's Gospels. We see how that the things that the Lord did, the things that the Lord reacted to, and we need to model the Lord's response. You know, I told someone the other day, Sister Tanjus, we were having a conversation, and I said, listen, one of the greatest attributes that Jesus had and that He modeled for us, Sister Tammy, was restraint. Restraint. Can I tell you, some church folk need to see and need to model the restraint of Jesus Christ. We need to model the restraint of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was led as a lamb before its shearers. And he answered Pilate not a word. He stood there innocent, not guilty of anything, accused of everything, but he had restraint. The Bible says he could have called down, Sister Melissa, at any point in time, he could have called down 10,000 angels and took him down and solved everything that was going on, but he had restraint. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me enough for the joy that was set before him. He endured the pain and the suffering of the cross. Hallelujah. Restraint, folks. We need restraint today. We need restraint today. Restraint in your Facebook. Oh, my Lord. Did he just say that? He did say that. He did. You need restraint in your Facebook. You need restraint on your job. You need restraint in your marriage. You need restraint with your children. You need restraint in your finances. Don't just buy anything you want. You need to show the Lord some restraint today. Jesus modeled restraint for us. He showed us that we must have restraint. In John's gospel, we see that restraint. It's here in John's gospel that we're taught to walk in the Spirit. How many know we need to be led by the Spirit today? We need to learn to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Turn to your neighbor and say, your flesh will destroy you. Your flesh will destroy you. It's here in John's gospel we are taught. We are taught that we must walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill and we can overcome the lust of the flesh. Reading in our text this week, I realize that as Jesus walks up to the man at the pool of Bethesda, I hadn't paid attention to it before, but for some reason as I was reading the Word, I mean, you know, you can never extract everything out of the Word of God. I probably read this text 100 times and never heard the Lord speak to me, Brother Jediah, like he did this week when I read it. I was reading this text and I was noticing in this text that as Jesus walks up to this man at the pool of Bethesda, I realized that the man never even asked Jesus for his help. He never even, Brother Bo, asked him for his help. And I was like, Lord, have mercy. I never even paid attention to that before. But Jesus walks up to this man. He never asked Jesus for his help. And the fact that Jesus comes up to him without him even asking him for his help reminds me what the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. He said, and it shall come to pass that before they call. Come on, am I in an apostolic church tonight? Before they call, before they even think about it, before they open their mouth and say it, the Lord said, I'm going to hear them. I'm going to answer them. I'm going to move for them. Before they even open their mouth, the Lord knew exactly what that man had need of. He didn't have to tell him what he had need of. The Holy Ghost already knew. Before they call, the Lord said, I will answer them. I will answer them. And while they are yet speaking, he said, I will hear them. I will hear them. Praise the Lord. You see, the problem with the pool in Bethesda was that only one person could get the blessing. Now, there was one pool. There was 5 porches. And there was impotent folk, not on just one porch, Brother Joe. There was impotent folk on all five, say that real fast. There was impotent folk on all 5 porches. There was lame people. There was hurting people. There was depressed people. And I'm not talking about people who just got a recent problem. The Bible says this man suffered with his condition for 38 years. And 38 years later, he's still coming to the pool believing that God is going to trouble the waters and the angel of the Lord is going to come. Oh, if some church people would just have that kind of expectation that every time they walk through the door of the house of God, the Holy Ghost is going to come. He's going to trouble the water and something's going to happen in the house of God. Would you give him praise tonight? Would you give him glory tonight? My God, 38 years later, this man's still coming. We can't ask God for 2 weeks for something. We can't ask God, Brother Joe, for 2 weeks for something before we done give up and throw in the towel. Give me a white flag and I'll hold it high. Huh? But 38 years later, man, that's resiliency. Oh to God that we could get that kind of resiliency tonight. Oh to God we could get that kind of faith tonight. The problem with the pool was only one person was going to get the blessing. Only one person was going to get their healing. And there was people all around the pool just waiting for the angel to come down. So they were literally competing for the blessing. Ain't you glad to know that just because you ain't the first one to walk through that door? Ain't you glad to know that just because you ain't the first one to walk to the altar? Ain't you glad to know that just because you ain't the first one to raise your hands don't mean that the Lord ain't going to respond to you raising your hands or opening your mouth and giving him praise and glory tonight? The problem with Bethesda was over the years there had become this mindset that only one person's going to get the blessing. Only one person is going to get the healing. And see, that concept was fine. That concept worked for many years. But when Jesus showed up, I said, but when Jesus showed up. Somebody didn't hear what I said. I got to say it one more time. I'll preach till I get five amens up in here. But when Jesus showed up, that mindset of Bethesda wasn't going to cut bread no more. The mindset that only one person was going to get the blessing wasn't going to work no more. So Jesus walks up to this man and he asks him a profound question. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That concept was all good and dandy. That concept was great because somebody was getting something. But when Jesus got there, I come to tell you, it didn't matter if you was the first one in the pool. It didn't matter if you was the second one in the pool. As a matter of fact, it didn't matter if you got in the pool at all. All that matters was Jesus showed up and he had what you needed. I come to tell somebody tonight, it don't matter if you're the greatest or if you're the least. It don't matter if you're in the mountain or if you're in the valley. What I come to tell you tonight, child of God, is if Jesus shows up in your life, he's got exactly what you need. Give him some praise tonight. Come on, you ain't got to be the first. You ain't got to be the second. Come on, the same. Come on, the last shall be as the first. And what matters is you give the glory to God tonight. Hallelujah. It didn't matter if you, when he showed up, it didn't matter if you got in the pool or not. Jesus knew exactly what this man needed. He comes up to him and he asks him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, sometimes I really think that the church gets caught up in this Bethesda mindset. You can use that if you want. Bethesda mindset. Sometimes we get caught up in this Bethesda mindset. Everything has to be perfect for me to get what God has for me. Sister Lexi has to pick all the right songs for the song set for me to get what God's got in store. My favorite preacher got to be preaching tonight for me to get what God has. All my prayer warriors got to be here. If one of them's missing, I know God ain't going to give me what he's got. I come to tell somebody, it don't matter if you're first. Don't matter if you're second. It don't matter if you get in a pool at all. What matters is that Jesus show up. We got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset that says we can't get what God has for us. We can't get what God has for us unless all the cards fall in the right places. It don't matter. If Jesus is here, you can get what he has for you tonight. We got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset. Come on. I was sitting with a young man in the office just before service. I said, every time we walk through these doors, we got to believe God's going to send a sinner. We got to believe God's going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. We got to believe God's going to send a businessman with a business checkbook, and he's going to write a check and pay this building off. I believe in God that this ceiling's going to be gone. There's no restriction to the Lord to save by many or by few. God is able tonight. God is able tonight. Whatever you have need of, don't matter if you're first or if you're second or if you're last. All that matters is that Jesus show up. All that matters is that Jesus show up. Man, we get all caught up in this Bethesda mindset. My friend ain't here tonight. How am I going to worship without them beside you? You better figure out how to worship without them beside you. You ain't going to heaven on nobody else's salvation. You got to have your own, you got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. And fear and trembling causes me to be in the house of God. I come to tell somebody, now God wants to see your faithfulness. God wants to see your faithfulness. And a preacher's got to say all the right things. Come on. That preacher can't preach you into heaven. You got to get yourself there. Consecrated life, a life in Christ, a dedicated life, a faithful life. Can't nobody preach you into heaven. Can't nobody preach. Can't nobody pray you into heaven. You got to get your own self there. You got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. We got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset tonight. Come on, all you got to have to get what the Lord has for you is for Jesus to show up and to show out. How many know our Lord will show out? How many know our Lord will do big things? How many know small things don't stir people's blood tonight? How many know we got to believe God for big stuff? We got to believe God for great things. I'm believing God for great things tonight. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, didn't enough people pray for me tonight? That's a Bethesda mindset. Somebody else done got your blessing. We ain't competing for the blessing of God tonight. He got enough blessing for each and every one of us. He's got enough and more than we can even consume tonight. We serve a big God. Come on, the Lord didn't need no angel to trouble the water. The Lord didn't need no perfect worship set. The Lord didn't need the best orator to show up. Come on, all he had to do was show up right where this man was at and ask him, are you willing to get rid of your victim mentality? Huh? In layman's terms, this is what Jesus said to this man that had a condition of 38 years. He says, sir, are you willing to get rid of your victim mentality? Sir, are you willing to come out of your comfort zone? Because here's the truth, church. You can't be a victim and be victorious. No victims are victorious. It don't work. You can't be a victim and be victorious. So what the Lord was asking this man with the condition of 38 years, he was saying, are you willing to come out of the condition that you're in? I wonder how many times we could have received from God if we would have just been willing. I wonder how many times he stood there in front of us with what he needed in his hand. But we weren't willing to come out of where we were at and to receive what God had for us. Come on, we got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset tonight. The Lord didn't need perfect conditions. How many know God works in imperfect conditions? Yeah, he does. Let me tell you something. I come in here before, and we couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. The soprano was singing alto, and the alto was singing bass, and we don't even have a bass. We have times we come in here, and the worship team's at each other's throats, and we can't get nothing to happen, and the service starts, and the Holy Ghost moves, because God does not need perfect conditions to move in our midst. That's our Bethesda mindset. The Lord don't have no Bethesda mindset. That's why when he walked up to this impotent man at the pool, he said, sir, are you willing? Do you want it? Are you willing to come out of that victim mentality? Do you want to be made whole? That's what he asked him. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to receive the blessings of God? But you got to be willing to come out. You got to be willing to give up. You got to be willing to surrender. Come on. Come on. God knew exactly what this man needed. All we need is for him to show up. He don't need perfect conditions. He just needs some willing people. When he says, you want what I got? You want what I got? Come on. This man said, give it to me, Lord. You know better than I do. That's what we got to say today, Lord. You know what we need better than what we do. You know what we need before we even ask it. Before it even comes out of our mouth. God, you know exactly what we need. We're ready to surrender being a victim. We're ready to give up those benefits of being a victim. You know how many know there's benefits to being a victim? How many know people love for people to feel sorry for them? People love for people to tend to them. It's called the benefits of a victim. Let me tell you something. For this man to receive what God had in store for him, he had to surrender his victim mentality. He had to give it up. He had to surrender it to the Lord. He said, you want what I got, sir? He said, sir, I sure do want what you got. You know better than I do. Lord, don't let me get hung up on the pool. Not God, that ought to be the prayer of every child of God tonight. Don't let me get hung up on the pool. Come on, I'm on the porch. There ain't enough room for me in the pool. Only one person gonna get the blessing, but my God is bigger than that. I'm not gonna settle for a Bethesda mentality. I'm not gonna settle for a Bethesda mindset. The God that I serve is greater. The God that I serve is bigger. The God that I serve is better. The God that I serve is able. Exceedingly abundantly above everything that I could ever think or ask. He has it for me. He has it for me. The man, Jesus walks up to him. Sir, would you be made whole? Are you willing to come out of that victim mindset? You've held on to this for 38 years. I got what you need. Do you want it? That's what he said to him. Do you want it? Now, I want you to notice, the man begins to give every reason why he cannot receive the blessing. Sounds just like the church tonight. Ever? Well, I don't have nobody to pick me up and put me in the pool, Sister Sam. I've been here for 38 years. And 38 times 52 is too many for me to figure in my head, but it's a lot of times. And he said, that's how many times I've been here and somebody beat me in the pool. I don't have nobody to lift me up and to put me in the pool. You ever notice so many times we concentrate on more on the reasons why we can't be blessed, Brother Timmy, than the reasons why we can be blessed? That's a Bethesda mindset. We got to get rid of it. God wants to bless you. God wants to make you whole. God wants to restore you. God wants to add unto you. But you got to be willing to surrender yourself unto the Lord. He's asking this man, will you be made whole? Not, can I make you whole, or am I able to make you whole? He asked him, will you be made whole? Huh? Will you, sir, be made whole? Are you willing to give some stuff? Are you willing to surrender yourself? We look for more reasons why we can't be blessed than why we can be blessed. I come to tell you tonight, you got to get rid of that Bethesda mindset. Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, he said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. He said, I have put before you life and death, a curse and a blessing. And then watch what he says. He says, if I were you, I would choose life so that your children can live. That's what Moses told him. He said, I'm charging heaven and earth against you. I'm bringing it to record today. I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a chance for life. I'm giving you a chance for death. I'm giving you a chance for a blessing, and I'm giving you a chance for a cursing. I come to tell this body today, the Lord has done the same to each and every one of us. God has given us a choice, and if we were wise today, we would choose a life in Christ. Because there ain't no better life. There ain't no other way. There ain't no other gospel. There ain't no other way to heaven. I come to tell somebody today, we got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset. God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless his people. What Moses was saying to the children of Israel is, you got to choose. What I'm saying to this church tonight is, you got to choose. You got to choose. That ain't popular. That ain't popular. That ain't comfortable. You mean I got to choose between the world and the church? Yeah, you do. You mean I got to choose between right and wrong? Yeah, you do. You mean I got to choose between heaven and hell? Yeah, you do. What Moses was telling the children of Israel is, you got to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You got to choose. You want to be a victim? Or do you want to be victorious? That's what Moses was saying in 21st century terminology. You want to be victorious, or do you want to stay a victim? I ask you today, do you want to be victorious, or do you want to be a victim? Because you can't be both. Because victims are not victorious. Without saying, without speaking it in words, Jesus, when he said it unto this man, if you want to be made whole, you got to give up those benefits that come with being a victim. I've seen people that literally don't want you to pray for them because they don't want to give up their benefits. Call me a liar. I tell you it's the truth. I've seen people don't want to get healed. They'd rather have a check than get healed. They rather have a check. They don't want to get healed. They don't want to have to go to work. Let me tell you something. If God will bless my body and cause me to be able to go to work, I'd rather make money by the sweat of my brow, by the fruit of my hands. I'd rather make money because of the gifts that God gives to me. I've seen people that won't surrender that victim and that victim card, and they won't surrender those benefits that come with being a victim. Come on, let me tell you something today, church. The benefits of a victim don't compare to the benefits that come from glory. They don't compare to the benefits that come from glory today. Come on, when you're blessed, you don't need people to feel sorry for you. When you're blessed, you don't need people to carry you. When you're blessed, you don't have to look for excuses. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're blessed beyond measure. Come on, come on. You're the lender and not the borrower. You're the first and not the last. Come on, somebody magnify the Lord with me today. Hallelujah. You don't have to remain there. Jesus is telling this man, will thou be made whole? Will you receive what I have for you? It wasn't a question of if he had it or not. It wasn't a question if the Lord was able to give it to him or not. It was a question, would he receive it or not? Was he willing to surrender or not? Come on. The Lord told him, give me that victim card and I'll make you whole. I'm telling his body today, the Lord's saying, give him that victim card, he'll make you whole. Come on, surrender that old man that's keeping you where you're at, and God will make you whole. He'll make you whole. I can hear Jesus saying, before I got here, it was all about your power. Before I got here, it was all about your power and your ability to get in the pool. But Jesus said, but when I got here, it was no longer about your power, it was about my power. It's no longer about you being able to get in the pool, it's about me being able to give you what I got for you. The question is, do you want it? The question is, how bad do you want it? The question is, are you willing to change to get it? The question is, are you willing to surrender yourself to Christ to get the blessing that he has for you? My God. I was talking about this Sunday after Brother Joe got done preaching. What astounded me was the Bible says a little bit later on that Jesus left that pool and he went to the temple. Guess who he found in the temple? The man from the pool. Because he wanted what Jesus had. So you know what he did when Jesus gave it to him? When he told him, he said, pick up your bed and start walking. The Bible says it was a Sabbath day. It was unlawful. The religious leaders saw him. They saw this man carrying his bed through town. They said, sir, what do you think you're doing? It's the Sabbath day. You ain't allowed to carry your bed through town. So it goes on. He don't pay no attention to them naysayers. Oh, if the church could just brush off them naysayers. Oh, if the church could just brush off them religious folk who just want to be a part of something. No, I ain't here just to be a part of something. I'm here to touch the King. I'm here to get what Jesus got for me. I'm here because I can't put myself in the pool. I'm here because my power got me where I'm at. I need his power in my life. I'm tired of my power. I'm tired of my failures. I'm tired of my insufficiencies. I want what he has for me. I want what he has for me. When he steps into the scene and the scenario of my life, it's no longer about my power. It's all about his power. It's all about his power. Come on, church. Jesus said, when I got here, sir, it ain't no longer about your power. I didn't ask you if you had somebody to put you in the pool. I asked you, did you want to be whole? I asked you, would you be whole? I didn't ask anything about your own power. I didn't ask you if you had somebody to put you in the pool. I'm here now, and this Bethesda mindset has got to go. If you want what I have for you, that Bethesda mindset has got to go. It's not about your power no more. We are all utter failures on our own. We are nothing without him. None of us can make it to heaven without him. None of us can face tomorrow without him. I love that old song. I sing it. It says, I can't even walk without the Lord holding my hand. I thought I was number one. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I had accomplished some stuff. I thought I had worked hard. But one day reality smacked me in the face and I realized I'm nothing without him. This is not about my power. I got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset and I got to get what Jesus has for me. Lord says, sir, this ain't about your power no more. This is about my power. He stepped onto that scene. He said, I hold all power in heaven and in earth. Huh? All power was given unto me both in heaven and in earth. This ain't about your power no more, sir. This is about the power that only comes from on high. This is about the power to leave your past behind. This is about the power to take authority over your tomorrow. This is about the power to put hell on the run. This is about the power to speak things into existence. That's the power that God has in store for you today. That's why the Lord told Moses to throw down that rod. He told Moses that day, he said, Moses, throw down your rod. I can hear Moses saying, Lord, I lean up on this thing. Lord, I count on this thing. I climb the rocks with this thing. Lord, I steer the sheep with this thing. Lord, I need this rod. Lord said, throw it down, Moses. Throw it down. Moses took that rod. He threw it down on the ground, Brother Jason. That thing turned into a serpent. I can hear the Lord saying to Moses, that's what I think about your support system. You don't need this world to support you, Moses. I will be your support system, Moses. I will meet your every need, Moses. I will watch over my sheep, Moses. I will do everything you need, Moses. You don't need to rely on the things of this world, Moses. I will be your support system. I will hold you up. I will lift you up. I will pick you up and put you in the pool. You don't have to count on somebody else to pick you up and put you in the pool. I will make you whole. Because where the word of a king is, there's power. And he's the king. And where the word of a king is, there's power. And he's the king. Somebody needs to hear this preacher today. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And he's the king today. Hallelujah. He's the king. Stand with me tonight as the musicians come. I hear the Holy Ghost saying as plain as day, we got to get rid of this Bethesda mindset. If this church wants to see the miraculous, we cannot count on a perfect song set. If this church wants to see sinners saved, we can't count on the perfect prayer warriors. If the church wants to see our city turn around, we can't count on a perfect scenario and a perfect situation. God works in imperfect situations. The Lord walked up to this gentleman at the pool of Bethesda. He knew exactly what he needed before he ever opened his mouth. God knows exactly what you need before it ever comes out of your mouth. Believe him for it. Believe him for it. He has what you need. He's asking the people, the constituents that are in this room right now under the sound of my voice, wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to give up yourself? Are you willing to live a life in Christ? Or do you want to hold on to what got you where you're at? My greatest thinking has failed me. Absolutely failed me. I've been through bankruptcy. I've been through back troubles. I've been without work. I've had diabetes because I was not smart and I ate too much sugar. My greatest thinking caused me to be an utter failure. But when Jesus stepped into my life, He transformed my mind. He gave me a new mind. He gave me a new walk. He gave me a new mindset. I said goodbye to Bethesda. That man took up his bed and he started walking. I come to tell somebody in this house tonight, it's time to reach down. It's time to pick up your bed and it's time to start walking into the things of God. God said you don't have to stay there no more. You don't have to be there no more. It's time for you to be made whole tonight. It's time for you to be made whole. Because where the word of a king is, there's power. only one pool, but there was five porches full of people. We're not competing tonight. There's only so many linear feet at this altar. And if you stand side by side, if every one of you come up here, not every one of you are going to fit from that corner to that corner. But I promise you one thing. If you come up here and you surrender your life to Christ, it don't matter if there ain't enough room between here and that seat. It don't matter if you got to stand at that back wall. As long as you give yourself to the Lord, as long as you submit yourself to the Lord, as long as you're willing to submit your mindset, as long as you're willing to transform your mind and give up your heart and realize that without Him, you're nothing tonight. He said you can. You can be made whole in His presence tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? Come on. Come on. Quit looking at the fact that there's five porches and one pool. It's time to get rid of that mindset tonight. It's time to believe God for great things tonight. It's time to surrender. It's time to give in. It's time to give yourself unto the Lord tonight. Come on. If I was you, I'd get out of that seat right now and make my way to the front of this church. I say, Lord, help me get rid of this victim mindset. Help me say goodbye to Bethesda. Help me quit counting porches. And help me realize you have more than enough for me tonight. You have more than enough for me tonight. As we sing this song unto the Lord, would you come? Would you come and stop counting porches? Would you come and stop counting on people to put you in the pool? Because when the Lord shows up, it's no longer about your power. It's no longer about your ability. It's all about Him. It's all about He's willing. He's willing to do it for you. Let's love Him together. All